Hello, everyone. Welcome to your newest episode of the Cosmic Matrix podcast. On this special episode, which we are basically recording last minute, it's going to be about eclipses, especially this upcoming eclipse, solar eclipse on April 8th, which is astrologically going to be in the sign of Aries, and endings, beginnings, and the changes ahead. So what we're going to discuss on this podcast is, what is this eclipse going to be about? What planets are being activated? What does that mean? How is it related to certain events happening in the world, especially this comet that's supposed to pass by around the time of the eclipse, along with this CERN event that a bunch of people have all sorts of theories about? So we're going to give you a lot of info about eclipses in general here. We're going to talk about different spiritual beliefs about the eclipse, what energies are going to be activated, how you can work with that. And for those who are new to our podcast, we always have a second hour of every podcast. This is available only for members of our Veil of Reality membership. So if you'd like to join and listen to the second hour, you can go to veilofreality.com and it will be under membership, or you can go to veilofreality.com/membership and you can join and become a member. But so on the second hour, we're going to discuss what Rudolf Steiner said about eclipses, what other religions say about eclipses historically, and we're going to go a little bit deeper into the astrological influences by discussing how Mars conjunct Saturn will influence this eclipse, and how this is all kind of leading up to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on April 20th, which we're going to also discuss, what to expect of that, what we could see. And then we're going to also offer and close with some practical skills for working with the eclipse. So before we get into it, I just want to make a little announcement. So we are doing another round of Embodied Soul Awakening, which is our 14-week private online group coaching program in psycho-spiritual self-work to embody your true self. We're going to start that May 6th. And as of today, we have about 5 spots left. We most likely will be taking a break from doing it for the rest of this year. So if you want to join us this year, please go to www.thetimeoftransition.com. That's thetimeoftransition.com, and you can apply. And we are most likely going to be launching a different project, which is going to be for people who've worked with us before, which is why we're taking some time off. So we are also making some changes in alignment with this eclipse as well. So if you would like to join us for the last round of this year, please go to that website, thetimeoftransition.com. Okay, so we got to get right into it. We have a lot to discuss. So let me just start by giving a little bit of an overview. So an eclipse is basically like a new moon or a full moon on steroids. So this is when the sun and moon will, the solar eclipse will be with the sun and moon conjunct in Aries. And solar eclipses are when the sun and moon come together at the same lunar node. So there can be a north node eclipse and a south node eclipse, and they both have different energies. The one happening on April 8th will actually be a north node eclipse. And the lunar eclipse that just happened in Libra on March 25th was a south node eclipse. So they have very different energies. Other planets to pay attention to, which will be activated during this eclipse, are Chiron and Mercury in Aries. So let me just begin by talking about what eclipses mean on a psycho-spiritual level. So back in 2016 or 2017, I was actually in Peru doing what people do in Peru, a bunch of ayahuasca ceremonies. And I met a really great guy there who I ended up staying with, and he was an astrologer, and he was really into in-depth esoteric studies, the mysteries of life and death. He was a very wise and intelligent guy, and his name was Keith Magne. And this was actually, it was before 2017, because he was really talking about how this eclipse that was about to pass over the USA in August 2017 would be the beginning of a period of political and social turmoil. And he wrote a book about these eclipses called The Wheels of God. Wheels is spelled W-H-E-A-L-S. And he was so passionate about this topic. Now that I'm looking back, he was kind of like a heretic because he was just obsessing about this eclipse coming in 2017. Everything would happen. He literally wrote a book about the history of eclipses and how it affected geopolitical movements and social movements. And he was correct. Things did heat up in the U.S. after that 2017 eclipses. And the way that he described it is that he said that when eclipses pass over a country, it casts a shadow over that country, which on a psycho-spiritual level tends to bring all the shadows up of the country as well. So we're going to most likely see something similar with this eclipse going over the USA on April 8th. In his studies of these eclipses passing over a country were often followed by exposure of criminal governments, political and civil wars, rebellions, and constitutional and territorial changes. So that's more about what's going on a mundane level. I also want to note that there's a lot of fear porn going on around this eclipse. And the point of this eclipse is of this podcast is not to like add on more fear, but to give you guidance on how to work with these times of change. So let's talk about some of the other like outer mundane events going on related to the eclipse.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So there's a lot of what we call in astrology or people in astrology circles sometimes call cosmic paranoia over certain transits or eclipses.
And that's actually Mark Jones's terms. Mark I want to give him credit for that.
Okay, credit for him, because when I wasn't really aware of, you know, didn't understand in-depth astrology before I met my wife Laura here, I definitely fell into the trap of cosmic paranoia about certain transit. Oh my God, is this good or is this bad, right? Very black and white thinking, externalized, what's going to happen? Not understanding the deeper inner processes, esoteric, psycho, spiritual processes of these transits, which also reflect the inner state of humanity and the person and affects everyone differently based on the birth chart, as Laura said. But regarding outer events, right? So as Laura said, there's a lot of fear porn. And interestingly too, I have to say on a side note, a lot of people who actually, you know, deny astrology or think it's nonsense, pseudoscience, or don't think planets have any effect, all of a sudden talk about the eclipse. I've never seen so many posts about consensus normies, even quote-unquote truthers who deny astrology, spread all kinds of fear porn or doom and gloom about the eclipse of what's going to happen, right? And there's a lot of, you know, again, you have to kind of overly paranoia out there as well. But let me point out some of the quote-unquote outer events. One significant one people have pointed out, it's very interesting, quote-unquote synchronicity or coincidence, that NASA is launching 3 rockets into the eclipse's shadow under the operation name Serpent Didi, right? So that's already gets all the conspiracy folks, you know, riled up, Serpent Didi. And the mission is basically officially known as Atmospheric Perturbations Around the Eclipse Path, called APEP, APEP. And it aims to explore the eclipse's effects on the Earth's upper atmosphere. So that's their official explanation of scientific experiment to, you know, observe the eclipse, so to speak. Interestingly, though, and here we go more into the conspiracy-minded folks, APEP, the acronym for this project, APEP, was actually the name of an ancient Egyptian deity who embodied darkness and disorder. And basically was the opponent of light and Maat in the Egyptian mythology of order and truth. And Ra was the bringer of light and hence the biggest opposer of Apep. So that's very fascinating, you know, with NASA shooting up these rockets named Serpent Didi under this project APEP named. I don't know if they consciously named it after the Egyptian god. Maybe, you know, obviously NASA, we know there are a lot of issues and whatnot, but that's very fascinating to point out. Another external event that happens right at around the same time, basically, as the eclipse, is that a very rare event, a comet is visible too. Why is it visible? Because the sun is being blocked out by the moon, right, at the eclipse, and this comet passes very close by the sun, hence you can see it, and this comet is called the Pons-Brooks comet and appears with the eclipse. And it's very interesting because it's also been dubbed and called the, you know, devil's comet, because the twin streaks of this comet give the appearance of devil horns, and it has also been called the Millennium Falcon comet. due to its resemblance of Han Solo's spacecraft in Star Wars.
Yeah, let me add something, though. When they first photographed it, it had the appearance of devil horns. But now when they photograph it, it actually appears like this really interesting spiral.
Okay, so it has changed.
So I think at first when they photographed it, looked one thing, and then now it looks very different. And if you Google it, it's very interesting because it has a spiral in it now.
Interesting. Yes, and it appeared a couple times already. This specific comet visits the inner solar system every 71 years, right? And it was actually first discovered in 1812. But it will be the closest to the sun on April 21st, but you can already see it on April 8th because of the solar eclipse. And it's way far away from the Earth, so there's no danger of hitting the Earth. But interesting because, you know, the appearance of comets has a lot of symbolism and omens in ancient traditions, the ancient civilizations. As a matter of fact, the ancients believed that comets were omens of natural or political catastrophes, wars, plagues, famines, and also the death of rulers. Right?
Yes.
Very fascinating. Now, because the eclipse happens and the comet appearance, it reminds me of what your friend said, you know, when he first saw the political upheaval foresaw the eclipse in 2017.
Yeah.
So that might be another omen. So people, again, more people freak out about this and all of that. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And last but not least, obviously very fascinating, CERN, if you guys have heard about it, that's the European Organization for Nuclear Research situated in Switzerland, is going to test the world's most powerful particle accelerator during April's solar eclipse on April 8th. They're going to restart it there after a few years of a quote-unquote break. And this experiment is about, you know, it's a very powerful particle accelerator that is set to smash billions of protons together on April 8th to search for invisible particles secretly powering our universe. And CERN will shoot these protons down a 17-mile-long tunnel at nearly the speed of light to recreate conditions similar to a second after the Big Bang. So good luck with that. Obviously, a lot of French conspiracy theorists, and who knows, on a metaphysical, spiritual level, what the implication may be of that. Maybe they're opening up some sort of Stargate, interfering with timelines, opening a wormhole of all kinds of things coming through we don't want to come through. Who knows? But it's really fascinating, again, that this happens exactly at the day of the solar eclipse. So these are the three main events that happen at the same day. The NASA rocket shoot, Serpentini, the comet, visibility of the Devil's Horn Comet, Pombrus Comet, and the CERN experiment starting April 8th.
So here's some basic ideas behind eclipses. They come in pairs. They come with a new moon and a full moon. So the lunar eclipse comes on a full moon and the solar eclipse comes on a new moon. And they happen in a particular axis of two signs which are opposed to each other. This is going to be on the Aries Libra axis. So this eclipse season is going to be about relationships to self, to other. You can't, that's only a generalization. Of course, if you understand astrology, you would look to where it is in your chart to see where it's going to be affecting you. And it's going to affect people who have placements in cardinal signs the most. So Capricorn, Cancer, Aries, Libra will be affected the most. Doesn't matter what planet it is. And North Node eclipses in particular, which is this is what we're going into on April 8th, they bring an influx of new energy, of new celestial energy. So new forms, new experiences, new relationships and energy can enter, and old relationships, old experiences, past things need to be let go of. So on a positive side, there can be lucky events, new relationships can enter your life, there can be new opportunities. It can be a very energizing, stimulating time, increased fortune, boosting of energy. There's people, since Chiron is involved, you could either meet a significant healer or maybe you step into your role as a healer. There's many things that could happen. The negative influences can be, number one, aggression, especially aggressive conversations, very wounded people. You can feel overwhelmed, hyperactive. It can be a very destructive energy, especially if you're just acting out of impulsive aggression. There can be the breaking of things, especially with Mercury retrograde. It's very interesting because what I'll read later in one of the eclipse books I have, that certain indigenous tribes, I believe it was a Navajo, don't quote me on that, but there are certain indigenous tribes who used to break something intentionally around the eclipse so as to prevent something they don't want to break in their life.
Interesting.
So let's talk about actually some of those Navajo beliefs about the eclipse as well.
Yeah, very fascinating. Because a lot of questions I get, or sometimes people ask, is it okay, safe to look at the eclipse and all of that? And on a side note, before I go talk about the Navajo, I also want to point out, and I'm sure you may have addressed it later, that, you know, people sometimes, again, wait for this some major event to happen on April 8th. No, the solar eclipse, this is a very powerful ending of a cycle and starting of a new cycle that will have reverberations into the future, months and years ahead. So it's not just something that happens on one day. But very interestingly, so because here in the West, everybody, you know, especially in Texas and all, wherever the path goes of the eclipse, and we'll talk about some of the cities later on, but they want to take out their glasses, let's look at the eclipse, make a celebration, event out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look into virtually all the indigenous tribes, people, and ancient civilizations that were more in tune with nature and the spiritual cycles, there was not just superstition. They stayed away from the eclipse because, for example, the Navajo believes that the sun dies during an eclipse. The Navajo word for eclipse actually resembles the phrase eating the sun, because the moon eats the sun, because the moon blocks the life-giving ray of the sun. And in their cosmology, the quote, sun dies during a solar eclipse. Which is very interesting that when they mention that the moon is eating the sun, because from an esoteric or cult perspective, there are some quote-unquote issues regarding the moon, which I've written about in one of my articles called The Esoteric Significance of Our Moon and the Matrix Control System. You can check it out on my website. Just to quote Gurdjieff real quick from his, he's quoted In Search of the Miraculous by P.D. Uspensky. He says, everything living on Earth, people, animals, planet is food for the moon. All movements, actions, and manifestations of people, animals, and plants depend upon the moon and are controlled by the moon. The mechanical part of our life depends upon the moon, is subject to the moon. If we develop in ourselves consciousness to become aware, awake, connected to essence and will, and subject our mechanical life and all our mechanical manifestations to them, we shall escape the power of the moon. Really fascinating. So the Navajo stay inside and keep still during this dark period of the solar eclipse. There's no eating, no drinking, no celebrating, no working or any other activity. As a matter of fact, the traditional Navajo people believe that not following this practice could lead to health problems and misfortune for the family. And as a matter of fact, that's what they have observed.
Yeah.
It can lead to health and spiritual problems. So here's one Navajo tribesman said, if you were to eat during an eclipse, it does cause eating disorders and even other things along the lines of disease. If you were to sleep during an eclipse, that's where sleeping deprivation comes from. Looking at the eclipse can cause eye problems, digestive issues, migraine headaches, and even birth defects, very interestingly. In the Navajo tradition, a ceremony is needed to put a mother and child, quote, back in harmony if a pregnant woman watches the eclipse. So this is really, really fascinating. Again, this is not based on just superstition. These beliefs and experiences surrounding the eclipse started a long time ago in the Navajo traditions and correlate to many other indigenous tribes as well while watching nature, right? So for the Navajo and many others, the time surrounding the eclipse is a time for self-reflection. It's a time that you're supposed to be reverent. It's a time to go internal, meditate, and preparing for the new cycle once the sun is born again, is what Laura just talked about. But just to close this off, I also don't want to get into cosmic paranoia. It's not this, all this stuff is automatically going to happen if you look at the eclipse and whatnot. But I have to say, even that there was a partial eclipse last year, and just when it started to happen and I saw the light getting darkened, I felt some darker energy. I felt an unease and wanted to stay inside and you know, even pulled up the curtains and all of that.
Yeah, so we don't recommend looking at it, but to each their own. If you do look at it, let us know how it goes a few years later. I did look at the eclipse in 2017. Totally forgot what that astrologer told me, by the way. He didn't tell me not to look at the eclipse. He just said what could happen from it, by the way. And I did experience a string of bad luck after that.
Interesting.
So, you know, to each their own. I've also shared on other eclipses telling people that there's certain people who believe that it's not great to look at it. And a lot of people did share their stories of similar series of bad luck happening after looking at the eclipse. So like, it's already like, it's weird that America makes a spectacle out of this. Even like people gather and buy these special glasses to look at it. Like that in itself to me is symbolic of like how cut off we are from nature, from the symbolism behind it, from the energies behind it, because people don't really consider this at all. They're just like, wow, look at it. And everyone else is doing it. So let's do it too. So
yeah.
So let's just touch on really quickly. I'm going to read, there's this really great book by Judith Hill called Eclipses in You, and she talks about Aries eclipses in general. So, and that the eclipses that are visible in your location will be the most powerful. So people who are in the line of the eclipse will experience the effects most significantly, and it also depends on how it's affecting your chart personally. And we're all going to be affected by how it affects America. So she said, the solar eclipse in Aries, that eclipses in the sign are dynamic, strong, and fast in effect. Energy rises and dissipates suddenly. Power surges and or power outages occur in all matters related to energy, speed, temper, passion, military action, and fire. Aries waves are hot and stimulating. Think of cayenne pepper. This sign inspires action, discovery, aggressive impulse, and war. Leaders may rise to power or fall. This eclipse can herald great discoveries in exploration, science, and medicine. Leaders, athletes, and new talent idols may suddenly rise or fall. This is a stimulating time for dancing, singing, expressive or modern art, inspirational speaking, teaching, and discovery. It's a very feisty eclipse. And she says that new beginnings of importance can precede this event, and the effects are sudden and usually within a 4 week through 90 days or even 1 year influence. And she says cautions, which I already warned people about on social media, but cautions, fire hazards, check your temper, check for impulsive decisions like divorces or quitting your job. Animals and kids require more exercise. People tend to act up. Look out for speeders. Avoid speeding yourself. This is a drinker's eclipse. It's very interesting because eclipse accidents do tend to rise around eclipses too. Try to avoid provoking arguments. Don't drink and drive. Be proactive in preventing fires. And I would add on also accidents. And then the medical effects are very interesting too. She says high blood pressure, migraines, temper problems, ADHD, the adrenal glands, fight or flight are affected. Hormones can be affected. Our energy levels can be low or high. It can provoke heat and fever. So pregnant women should avoid heat and excessive activity close to this eclipse. I also want to add, I don't know if you said that, but pregnant women especially are not supposed to look at eclipses. Another thing too, which she also says later on in this book, is that the Navajo, I believe it was Navajo, I need to double check, but I'm going to share it on part two, but they cover their drinks and their food and they don't leave them out during the eclipse.
Yeah, I think it's
the
Navajo.
Yeah, then they can be affected by the energies. So, you know, it can be a very powerful time. It's a very fiery eclipse. It's really good to exercise caution with accidents, take it slowly, be careful driving, avoid driving if you can, especially when the eclipse is happening. You're going to say something?
Yeah, I just want to add real quick, and we're going to go deeper into the second hour of this from the occult perspective based on Rudolf Steiner's quote about the view of eclipses. And the reason why all this stuff can happen in the Navajo, the way they act, is not just looking, the act of not looking at it, but on the subtle metaphysical occult, hidden level, non-physical, because of the issues with the moon, the veil is thinning, right?
Yeah.
The life force of the sun is being blocked out. The protection of the life giver, the sun, is a highly spiritual symbolic meaning, the son of God. And hence the veil is thinned and other forces, occult forces from other astral realms, are coming through, right? And can easily take over and attack and attach and all of that. And that can be also used by, on the global macro level, by the occult elite for their own agenda as well, which is on the bigger picture. But the key point is, again, how you relate to the eclipse. And we go deep into the occult significance in the second hour. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's go into some key points about the eclipse, this eclipse, and eclipses in general. So this is going to be a north node eclipse, which means the sun and the moon are going to be conjunct the moon's north lunar node. And the north node represents the future direction. So what we need to develop. It's our soul's intention for growth. It's the path forward. It's where we're headed. It's what's next. It can feel very new to us. So, you know, even though it's the area we need to most grow towards, the reason that it's new to us is because we've never explored this territory before. So we can feel like we're breaking new ground, especially in Aries, which is a very pioneering, adventurous sign. So eclipses in general, since they are connected to the nodes, are linked to very karmic or fated events. Very important changes in our lives, especially in our lives and relationships, can take place. Important transitions. And, you know, sometimes and oftentimes, I would argue, it doesn't necessarily happen on the exact moment of the eclipse. It can even be in the weeks surrounding it. So we want to also zoom out. Or something that can happen is something that gets initiated now is what's going to affecting us for the year or months to come. So, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, what's going to happen on the exact day of the eclipse? Something could happen. But for the most part, it's going to create important changes that start a process of transformation. This process is always desirable in the long run. They help move us along our path. They help us on our purpose. We really need to take a growth mindset when working with the North Node and understand that any changes that happen need to happen, even if they're uncomfortable, even if they're frustrating, even if they're unexpected. You know, sometimes the bad thing that happens in our life actually leads us to a good thing later on. So taking this mindset to all of your life will help you, because some of the worst things that happened to me ended up being some of the best things that happened to me. And although they were uncomfortable at the time, we need to really see that some of these unexpected events or changes or endings can help set us on our purpose. So just in general, with this particular eclipse, you want to check for imbalances in your relationship and life and think for what changes need to happen. And sometimes these eclipses can bring dramatic changes where, like, a relationship suddenly ends and then maybe a new one enters later, or just something can happen that can dramatically make us change something that happens in our relationships, because that's what the Aries Libra axis is about.
It's almost like a struggle of self versus others too, in the sense.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So there can be big endings in a relationship and new beginnings. There can be random, unexpected events, like literally just catch you out of nowhere. There can be unexpected changes of direction. A solar eclipse in particularly is often associated with events relating to changes related to men in your life. And that lunar eclipse we just had is related to a change related to women in your life. And I'll tell a story about that later. They repeat in the same exact degree and sign every 19 years. So if you want to think about what you were doing in 2005, it can be a repeat, or like almost like, you know, we evolve in the spiral. It can be similar themes, similar ideas, but in a different way. And the overall themes of this eclipse are going to involve not only the North Node, and we'll talk about the Mars and Saturn as the ruler of the North Node in the second hour, but mainly Aries, Libra, Chiron lessons. So Aries will bring this aggressive fighting energy, this war energy. I mean, I don't know if you see kind of what's going on with the consensus. The consensus is actually the mainstream. They're a good barometer of like what's going on in the eclipse, because generally speaking, like people who more go within and reflect, they're not just acting it out, you know? So we can notice what's going on the collective level by just observing what's going on in the mainstream.
Exactly. It also relates to what Gurdjieff talked about, because the mainstream, as long as you're not individuated, the consensus, the majority are mechanically reacting to the cosmic influences. Like Gurdjieff talked about the moon, they're mechanically, you know, puppets like strings to these hidden forces and become just very reactive.
Yeah, and I see that too. Like I see people being more argumentative, more cruel, more aggressive in their communication, getting themselves in the necessary fights. So, you know, that's why I actually made a post about like how Mercury in Aries is like blocking season. And people were like, oh, I have Mercury in Aries and I argue all the time. And I was like, actually, the point is that when people are like this, it's a good time to actually make boundaries with them. So you're going to see a lot of acting out of aggression as a shadow side of it. And you're just going to see people being more argumentative and aggressive than usual. On a positive side, it's also related, the Aries archetype, to courage, leadership, taking initiative, warrior energy, independence, directness, self-discovery, feeling like you have a special mission or destiny. So these are the energies we're activating or we're evolving towards with this solar eclipse. So, you know, if you're someone who tends to like hold themselves back or people please, or you don't say what you really think, this is a time to actually change some of those habits. This is a time to be a little bit more direct with your communication, maybe just a little bit more independent and direct with your life and like go after what you want, like make changes. This is a good moment to like imprint a new karmic destiny for yourself. So there can be a feeling of freshness with this Aries archetype. And with Chiron there, and Chiron is literally exactly conjunct in Kazemi to this north node, which is, or sort of to the sun during this transit. And keep in mind, the sun is actually in rulership in Aries. So it's very comfortable here. It's not like a detrimental place for the sun to be. And that's why, you know, I tried to make a post recently to kind of orient this in a more positive way, because I do see a lot of people falling into doom and gloom and fear about things that haven't happened yet, which is not useful. Like Aries is a very present sign. It's about focusing on what is showing up for you in the moment and making instinctive changes and what needs to happen. So hypothesizing about what's going to happen and what's going to happen next, what's going to happen in my life, what's going to happen in the world, is really not a good way of working with this energy, in my opinion. So with Chiron there, I personally feel that these qualities of Aries that I just listed, this courage, this leadership, this taking initiative, this self-discovery, can help us with our individuation. So Chiron is associated with healing, with shamanism, with spiritual growth. It's associated with gifts that you find through healing your deepest wounds, which then become a gift that you can heal others with. Holistic healing and seeking wholeness, which is really the point of individuation to begin with. And for those who don't understand individuation, we talked about this in depth on a podcast called Becoming Who You Are Meant to Be. So you can listen to that if you want to learn more about that. But usually with Chiron transits, you know, if something painful comes up, you're being called to work on it within yourself, or you can also step into a role as a healer and help others in some way. So it can work twofold. Like our wounds make us perfectly equipped to help others who are going through the same struggle. They also help us become whole. They help us heal. So, you know, we want to also look at the necessary healing work that may be called to do during this period. And this may not be even healing ourselves. Maybe we've done a lot of healing work already and we need to step into our role as a healer in some way. So it's either we're going to be working on our wounds or we're going to be helping others work on their wounds. So look at your core wounds, look at how you're showing up in the world, look for karmic patterns that you want to break. Because this is all leading up to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is basically a breakdown, breakthrough energy. And I'm going to discuss that more in the second hour, along with the ruling planets of this eclipse, which is this somewhat tricky Mars-Saturn conjunction. So with the Mars-Saturn conjunction, we really need to be disciplined and focused with our efforts. So any like new idea or new discovery or new project that you want to take on during this transit, you need to also be patient and put in the disciplined effort to make it happen. Mars Saturn can bring setbacks, frustrating experience. Oh, this isn't going as fast as the Aries energy wants it to go. So, you know, whatever new idea that you have coming up, especially even leading up to this April 20th Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, it's also about putting the disciplined, practical, hard work to make it happen and not expecting any shortcuts too.
So, you know, again, it's also important to get out of the cosmic paranoia, as I mentioned before, because there's so much happening right now. And again, it's not just about the specific day. Like even you listen to this podcast after this eclipse, this is a huge, big news cycle in motion that have effects for the next months and years to come, right? And there are also way bigger cycles that started eons ago, intersecting with collective and personal karmic trajectories that will also override everyone's personal will, so to speak, but will initiate new creative impulses, openings, and opportunities. And sometimes, you know, death and destruction are as much part of life as birth and creation. It goes hand in hand, really, literally and symbolically, in accordance with divine will. That's just really important to understand, right? In this bigger trajectory. And a lot of it is in the unknown. But here's the one thing. The more you truly live from essence, that's the inner work, engage in it from your true self, as opposed to your outer personality and all our your conditioned, mechanical, reactive projections, behaviors, and all of that, the less you will also let yourself get distracted by any possible outer events, right? Be it the CERN timeline split, opening wormholes and NASA rockets and bridges collapsing and all of that. You know, there's only so much control you have in terms of the outer collective events, right? And also always remember that the doom and gloom mindset, which I see a lot nowadays, especially on the eclipse, is also a Waitiko matrix mind program, right? And oftentimes actually an unconscious trauma response. The only thing that really matters and you truly have control over basically is your inner alignment and how you utilize, transmute, and alchemize the cosmic energies the planet is being infused right now with this eclipse during this time of transition, similar to what Laura just suggested, right? To come into a higher alignment for maximum soul evolution as a frequency anchor with your unique soul mission and your unique soul lessons, right? And that, again, the eclipse will affect everyone differently on the personal level. But it doesn't happen by itself. So don't wait for outer events. Don't ruminate like, oh, is it good or bad? What is going to happen? It's about co-participating, co-creating. It requires conscious efforts on your part. And it will definitely, some of you push you out of your comfort zone. For there is a choice to be made, right? But we need to make this choice consciously.
Yeah, and staying in fear makes you more susceptible to the more malefic influences of this. It could like make you have an accident or make a foolish decision. So, you know, I made this post today or the other day about how nervous system regulation is really the ultimate way of psychically protecting yourself. Like people get all sorts of crystals and do all sorts of rituals from a fear place.
Yes.
And it's like, that's not going to help you because they're going to hook you in exactly when you're afraid. They don't care about your crystals that you're wearing or the orbs that you put around yourself. A regulated nervous system is one of the best sources of psychic protection.
Yes.
And so if times of chaos and change, you can feel your own power if you can actually regulate your own energy in the middle of it. So, you know, I would be very wary of like buying into some of these mainstream narratives that are floating around. Yes, they're very interesting. Yes, we could go down all sorts of rabbit holes hypothesizing about what they mean. But if they get you into a fearful place, you're just infected by the virus. And actually that's going to make you more susceptible to the more malefic spirits that can come through during the eclipse, which I'll talk about in the second hour.
And I also want to mention, some people may argue and blame us for fear-mongering, but aren't you fear-mongering by telling us not to look at the eclipse? Like, no, there's no fear behind it. The Navajo people are also not in fear covering away from the eclipse. They understand the bigger cycles. They see the unseen forces. They sense the energies, the thinning of the veil and other occult forces. They are, you know, they just take measures similar, like if there's a hailstorm out there, you go inside because you don't want to get wet.
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, you can look at the eclipse if you want. We're going to tell you what the different spiritual beliefs are around the eclipse.
Right.
We're going to go into more in the second hour, but to each their own, you
exactly.
know, I just want to be responsible by telling people what we know about it And if you really want to look at it so badly, then go ahead and look at it. And please write Bernhard an email a year later and let us know what happens.
So okay. just to close it off before we finish the first hour, also, you know, with this cosmic paranoia, I suggest that we need more pronoia instead of paranoia, right? What is pronoia? Pronoia is the idea that the divine or universe, if you have issues with the word God or divine, conspires for your best interest and highest evolutionary trajectory, even if your outer ego personality can't conceive it and lives in fear during this ongoing process, right, of the law of ascend and descent and this awakening process we all in individually and collectively. So really, pronoia in the spiritual context means providence or divine providence, divine grace, the wise and benevolent provision for all our needs by God. So think about it, that not all conspiracy is, you know, negative, but there's pronoia that the divine has something good for you in store, even if it needs to take something away in your life for you to move on.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that the planets are not doing anything to you.
Yes.
You have a choice on how to respond with certain archetypal energies via the spiritual energies of the planet that are influencing your life at any one moment. You have free will in all of this on how you can respond. So let's talk about, just close off with a personal experience. Mm-hmm. So we experienced a sudden loss, and I experienced a lot of realizations around the lunar eclipse. One of the first people, I think, who ever got into our work and who ever joined one of our courses, her name was Catherine Dennison. She died suddenly and unexpectedly around the lunar eclipse, actually. I think she died either on the day or 2 days before. She came down with a cancer, and it basically was really advanced, I guess. I don't know the specific details, but she died 2 months later. I had no idea this was going on. I didn't see her posts about it. It really did cause me to reflect. Like, I've never had someone who I worked with so closely die like that, and it really affected me. And then I looked at her charts, and her north node was conjunct my Venus. We had a nodal conjunction with each other's north node and south node on each other's Venus. So her Venus in Taurus was on my north node in Taurus. My Venus in Scorpio was on her south node in Scorpio. So it was very karmic connection. There was also Chiron Sun conjunction going on. And south node eclipses, which happen on March 25th, not only can be the loss of a significant female in your life, it involves, in general, releasing psychic experiences, letting go, spiritual awakening, looking inward, spiritual liberation. On a negative side, which I didn't experience in this case, but I just want to list it, it can feel weakening, draining, depressive. You can feel powerless, fearful, hopeless, and have a negative relationship with loss. So, you know, we can lose certain people around these periods of eclipses. I think that's why certain people fear it. They're like, oh my God, you know, who's going to die kind of energy. But I really want to reframe this, because what happened with Catherine and the way that she died was very profound to me. Like, I'm almost tearing up talking about it now. So with the nodes happening on this axis and that south node eclipse in Libra, we're really being called to let go of some relationships so new ones can enter. And I really want to close with some of what I've noticed. So I spent some time after she died looking at her posts on Facebook, and I could tell she knew she was going to die. Mm. And she was lighter and happier and more connected to essence than I had literally ever seen her been. Like, obviously, when you're working with people, you deal with them with all sorts of difficult experiences. But she really faced death like a spiritual warrior. She really faced death in the best way possible, which is really aligned with the divine, seeing the lessons in it. And I think she's such a good example for anyone who is dealing with loss and change in their life on how you can approach these eclipses and how you can approach any loss or change in your life. So I'm going to read some of her last posts that she posted. These are all public. So this is when she found out that she had a really rare and deadly cancer.
By the way, before you read, just want to clarify, no, she did not take the vax. It's not that's not why she suddenly died or got a fast-acting cancer. Sometimes the divine acts in mysterious ways when the soul wants to leave. Okay,
go ahead. Exactly. So, and she said, this is her post on February 10th, actually, not too long ago. And she says, lo and behold, my brain tumor biopsy confirms the diagnosis of malignant lymphoma, cancer of the blood. A referable was made to an oncologist. I don't need to go into the details of that. And then she says, so I have a new label, but I'm not stuck on it. And neither should you be. Just another detail about me that will transmute to the light of my true divine essence when it has served its soul growth purpose in my spiritual evolutionary learning journey home to my true divine essence. See you all down the road at some point. Happy together. Meanwhile, I'm jiving to the Beach Boys in my hospital gown.
She was, I think, in the late 60s, 70s, something like that.
Yeah, and then it was very fascinating because people were responding like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, I can't believe this happened to you. Like, they were responding with actually a lot of fear and, you know, they were worried, which is totally understandable. I don't want to dismiss that. But I found it most profound how she was responding to people. Like, I think that she fully knew that this was the best way to approach death. Because remember, you know, the Tibetan Buddhists, the Buddhists in general, they really place an emphasis on how you die and especially the state of consciousness that you die. And I would argue when you're going through even death and rebirth in your lives, how you approach those moments is really critical. So like when you're going through massive change in your life, it's like a mini death. And like how you approach that is like a mini kind of experience on how you actually will approach your death. So your state of consciousness at the moment of death is essential. And literally all of the spiritual psychological work we're doing is so that we can prepare ourselves to be in essence at the moment of death. So just to reflect on that. And so here's, so, you know, basically someone commented, you know, she supported her. She's sending her lover loving thoughts. She really hopes that it gets resolved. And then she replied to that, you know, just giving her more details. I had brain surgery on Monday to remove the tumor. The surgery went well and I'm progressing well with my recovery. This was before that last post I posted. And she says, it's a tough karmic lesson to master, but I'm learning all that I need to grow and evolve back to the light of my true divine essence. I appreciate your support. I have incredible support from family and friends to keep my spirits up.
Yeah, and then she finishes up with what she says, her favorite daily prayer. And I'm going to just read this right now. She says, her prayer is, I'm loved and I'm worthy. I am safe and I'm free. I'm powerfully protected. I am master of my body and ruler of my mind. I am the light. I hold the light. The light is always with me, whatever comes. And it's very powerful. I'm almost tearing up because this has been her favorite prayer. And it's one of the prayers we share in our courses, specifically also in my Occult Forces webinar. I've been reciting it myself. So it's so beautiful how she has also embodied the work, really sincerely engaged in the work, because we have known her for quite a few times. She participated in a couple of our programs. I have worked with her personally. Laura has worked with her personally. And you see her essence, like you said, this is almost like a conscious death, being in essence, right? Embracing it from a really deeper soul level as opposed to the fear-based ego personality. And it's just very profound teaching functions. I really want to also dedicate this episode to Catherine. It's very, you know, sad to see her go, but also beautiful to see her having moved on in this conscious way.
Yes. So I'm just going to close with something I wrote after that experience. So about just to close off about eclipses in general. So eclipses can bring huge endings and new beginnings. People can get eclipsed out of your life and new people can be brought into your life. This eclipse season is especially astrologically potent. Most of all, it's a good time to reflect on your relationship with loss, with endings, and with change. Do you fear these experiences or do you embrace them with an open and vulnerable heart? Grief is one of the most powerfully soul-transforming experiences. We grieve in relationship to the depth that we love. And sometimes we're afraid of change and loss because we're afraid of this tidal wave of grief that may accompany it. Yet in this eclipse season, I invite you to let that tidal wave wash over you. Let it break your heart open. because you just may find that the grief is washing you clean of all that your heart needs to let go of, so that you are born anew into the new world you are entering as a new person you are becoming. So beautiful. Just to close off, we are going to continue this in the second hour. We're going to talk about what Rudolf Steiner said about eclipses, especially in relation to the evil influences that can affect people during them. We're going to talk about how Texas is going to be highlighted. We're going to share more about what Keith Magnay, this guy who I met in Peru, talked about eclipses, how to work with evil and any negative influences that come up from the eclipse. We're going to also share about the different beliefs about eclipses in different religions and what they said. And then I'm going to also talk about the Mars-Saturn conjunction in Pisces, which is the rule. Mars is the ruling planet of this eclipse, which just conjuncts Saturn. And we're going to dive deeper into how this is all leading up to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on April 20th, what that could mean.
These are almost more powerful than the eclipse itself in a sense, right?
Yeah. And then we're going to share more about just how to work with these eclipses in general and the purpose they serve. So if you want to join us, you can go to veilofreality.com/membership. You can also just go to Veil of Reality and you'll see it at the top header under membership, and you can become a member and you can have access to all of the second hours of every podcast. We have over, I think, 120 episodes now. So we'll see you on the second hour.
Yeah, thank you so much. And again, if you want to join us for this round of Embodied Soul Awakening, go to thetimeoftransition.com. More information there with the application. And if the course is already full, you can put yourself on the waiting list. And we'll be right back.